Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to study the theme, Making Friends for God, the joy of sharing in His mission. Lesson 11, Sharing the Story of Jesus. Our memory text for this week, These things I have written to you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. First Epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 13. Jesus, the base of our testimony. The Apostle Paul, in his sermons, wanted to illustrate Jesus. Who is he? Full of love. He is the one who has been prophesied, the Old Testament, and the fulfillment. And now, what's going on? And in his epistle to the Ephesians, in chapter 2, the Apostle Paul starts with the following idea and said, "You who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now when you look at sinners, how they act, this is death? They are dead? Ha! They shout and they drink and. Life! Or? What does the Bible say? You who you were dead in trespasses and sins. When time passed, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. There are two groups, children of obedience and children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath, children of disobedience, children of wrath. That's the same. On the other side, children of Jesus, children of obedience. And he continues, but God, who is rich in mercy, now this is the turning point, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. He has quickened us together with Christ and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We sit in heavenly places? He talks about the future as if it were already in the present. When you are an heir of something, that somebody says, when I die, you will get, then you can say, this is my own, this is my possession, that's my house. My uncle has said, I will get it. And this is what Jesus has told Paul. We already sit there, although we are still here. But if you trust in Jesus, you are in the sense of being already there. What's written here? He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's great, isn't it? That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me. But this is the first point. Then you will be able to do so. Otherwise, you won't be able to follow him. You will only be a hypocrite. The transformative power of personal testimony. Transformative power. Now, when we look at John and James, the sons of Zebedee, they were known as the sons of thunder. When Jesus walked with his disciples through Samaria, nobody, not a single person, wanted to give shelter for Jesus and his disciples. No one. Said, we do not like Jews to be here in our sleeping room. And John and James, they burst with rage. Should we call to God that fire from heaven will consume them? And Jesus said, what do you think I've come for? Not to destroy, but to save. And because of this happening, they were called sons of thunder. And what has happened to John later on? James was the first martyr, so in a way the second. Stephen was the first, but he had to die as the first of all the apostles, James. And John died as the last of all the apostles. Now, we talk about the transformative power of a personal witness. John changed from a son of thunder to a son of love. In the first epistle of John, in chapter 4, we read from verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation for our sins. Atonement, to be at one meant, to be one in harmony with his mind. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse 11. This is John. He has changed. His character has changed. He is not the same anymore. He is not the son of thunder. He is the son of love. And no other person in the New Testament writes so much about love as John, the son of thunder in the past, and the son of love in the present and the future. There is a transformative power in a personal testimony. When we experience love from Jesus, we are transformed by his love. Telling the story of Jesus. In Mark chapter 5, we are informed about an event in Jesus' life. They had so much stress, so many people around them all the time, that Jesus ordered his disciples to cross the Sea of Galilee to get to the eastern shore. There are no villages, only steep cliffs. There is nature, no people, time of rest. When they got across the sea, they were happy to escape the multitudes. The multitudes were around Jesus all the time. Whenever someone discovered Jesus there, whoosh, then the people flocked together and they brought all their sick people, the lame people, the blind people, the deaf people, and so on. Everybody who had a personal problem with his body. If he could not come by himself, he was brought. Because Jesus could heal them all. All of them. Whatever sickness, no problem. There is no sickness that could not be healed. So they needed a time of rest. And as soon as they get off the boat on the eastern shore, the shock. Mark 5, verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. Have you ever heard anything like that? No man could bind him? No, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked as under by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And this man, shouting and hair everywhere, naked, runs towards the band, the little group. Jesus and his disciples. And the disciples, whoosh, they are back in the boat and ready to remove. But one is missing. Jesus. He's standing there as if there were no danger. But this man with the unclean spirit shouting, crying, and you have to fear that he will kill you. He runs towards Jesus, and Jesus just stands there as if nowhere were around. The disciples stare at this scene. Now, what's going on now? But they do not dare to come near. Imagine, they are Jesus and 12 disciples. They are 13 young men. And there is only one. And they are afraid. Can you imagine? The kind of appearance of this man with the unclean spirit? No one could have bind him. He is stronger than 13 men. Of course. Because he is possessed with demons. Therefore his strength and power. And Jesus tells these demons. And I beg, let us go into this herd of sows. They are allowed. And 2,000 sows run to the cliffs, fall down into the sea from high above, and die. And this person with the unclean spirit, he sits there, then they clothe him, he gets clothes. And he wants to be with Jesus. But Jesus say, you stay here. And you tell your relatives, your friends, you tell the people who know you, but he who will become friends now with you, you tell them what you have experienced. Telling the story of Jesus. Testifying with assurance. It's a long time ago. I was about 14 years old. And I was in the car with a pastor. We met for the first time. And when driving the car, we had to move to another church. He had taken me to go there. And then he asked me, it was one of his first questions, do you have assurance that you are saved in Christ Jesus? This was a question. And I knew if I say no, which had been the truth, then I would hear a sermon. And I did not want to hear a sermon, so I said, yes. Do you have assurance to be saved? I had no assurance, but my answer was yes. It was the opposite. But he was not so satisfied and continued asking me. Soon he discovered I have no assurance to be saved. And I remember sitting in a car beside him. It's still in there. Because this is such an important question. Do you have assurance to be saved? Now in the first epistle of John, in chapter 5, we read from verse 11 onwards. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. It's as easy as that, as simple as that. He that has the Son has life. In the German language, when someone has a new relationship, a young man and a young lady, then we say, he has a new girlfriend. Or she has a new boyfriend. There is a relationship they have with each other. And it's, we use the same words. If you have the Son, you have life. If you have not the Son, you have not life. It's the relationship, the loving relationship that you have someone. And you can see it. Hands are held together. We belong together. Hands held together. And these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I have written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life, you that believe on the name of the Son of God. It is a trusting point here. If you trust in Jesus, then you know you are saved. This is assurance of faith. The point is, do you trust in Jesus? Trusting means follow him. Not trusting, sinning. Whenever we mistrust him, then we sin. It's not important that you do something bad things. You just do not what he has told you to do. That's mistrusting. Mistrusting is sinning. And trusting is obeying. Why do we mistrust? We say, yes, it's okay, and what Jesus says, this is right and correct, and it's the best. Not always, or sometimes I know what is best for me, and then I do what I think what is best for me. And this is mistrusting him when he has told me something else. That's the point. Do you trust him? Then you may know that you have eternal life. Trust. Something worth testifying about. There is a sentence of Jesus I like very, very much. And it's easy to remember. It's short. And it's in John 10, verse 10. 10:10. That's easy to remember. And there we read in the second part of the verse, it's Jesus' words, I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Ah, that's interesting. I hear the devil say, you want to be a pious person following Jesus? Oh no! then all your joy will go away from you. Do whatever you want to do. If you have lust for this, okay, do it. There are no borders for anything. Just do what you want to do. That's life. That's a fine life. That's the devil. And he said, with Jesus, you can forget about life. We will only run around. This is the devil. He's a liar. Now, if you trust Jesus, what do you hear? I'm come that they might have life. What did Paul say? You were dead in your trespasses and sins and were quickened with Jesus to new life. And that they might have life more abundantly. Now, who is the liar and who tells the truth? The devil says, when you do what you want to do, what you like to do, this is life abundantly. And Jesus says, I have come that you will get life abundantly when you trust me and when you follow me. There is life. Otherwise, there is death. Now, whom do I believe? Who is the one I should trust? I like it when someone says to me, do whatever you want to do. Freedom for you. Is this freedom? Jesus says, you're free when you act according to the Word of God. Then you will experience freedom. If you follow the liar who says, oh, freedom, freedom with me, you will experience slavery. And sometimes it takes time till you discover this. Some need years to discover it, and some never discover. And some do the wrong things one time and discover, oh, that can't be, that there can't be life, only death. So, if you have experienced that there's a father of lies and a father of love, and that following the father of love will bring joy into your life, will bring life abundantly into your home, yeah, then you have something that is worth testifying about, isn't it? It will not help people just telling them what is right and what is wrong. They must experience, because of your joy, that being on the right side brings joy to your soul. Deep joy, deep peace, now and for eternity. Summary. Let's have a look at this piece of art painted by Maximilian Jantzsche, the Austrian artist. We go back in time 500 years. It's the 1st of January 1519. The one who is preaching in Zurich, Switzerland, is on this day, it's his birthday, 35 years old. You can see him here. 35. That's a wonderful age, isn't it? You're still young, but have already gained some experience. That's a good age. to be a minister for Jesus. I started at this age as well. So his name is Ulrich Zwingli, Switzerland. He was such an intelligent boy that on the first day in school, elementary school, very, very first day, he grew up with 9 sisters and brothers in a small hut. It's still there. Wildhaus in Switzerland, the eastern part of Switzerland, near the border of Austria. And there, I've been in this hut, interesting to see. He lived there with 9 sisters and brothers in this wooden house. It's a small village there, Wildhaus. It means wild house, because the scenery is so wild. High peaks of mountains amidst the Alps. 7 peaks in front of you. But very high peaks. And the teacher came back with the young Ulrich on the first day in elementary school and said, "I bring him back. I do not want to see him again." The parents were shocked. They asked, "Why? What should I teach him? I'm a teacher for 4 forms. So now he's 6, then up to, now he's 7, then up to 11. And what should I do with him? I have tested him. He knows everything what an 11-year-old knows. So what should I do with him? Send him somewhere else. I cannot teach him anything here in this elementary school. He has already finished the first 4 classes." So the teacher tested him and discovered on the first school day, this boy, from his intelligence, is 4 years older than he is. He's not 7, he's 11. Although he was 7. And when he was 35, he preached. He studied preaching in the Münster in Zurich. Gross Münster. Great church, cathedral. And he started with the first chapter of Matthew. And next weekend, he continued preaching the Gospel of Matthew, verse by verse. He went through all the texts till chapter 28 to the end. Weekend for weekend. He wanted to show the people Jesus. Who is Jesus? He had discovered Jesus by himself. And now he gave a personal testimony of Jesus. So what is the theme for the week? Sharing the story of Jesus. And that's what he did 500 years ago in Switzerland. And what happened? The people of this important city in Switzerland, it's the biggest city in Switzerland, there, the behavior of the people changed. And you can see it even 500 years later. You can see it 500 years later in Switzerland. The message that was spread there 500 years ago changed the hearts of the people till the present, to the very day, till the day.